Good morning. I'm happy to be here this morning. And to you who woke up, it's good to be in San Francisco with the Giants win last night. Not being a Giants fan myself, I'm from Southern California where the Angels did not make it to the playoffs, but I'm happy to know that a California team won the World Series. So still a good day. So I have nothing to disclose. Session objectives, again, is to recognize the challenges of fielding a patient survey in a community health clinic setting, identify potential options to improve the response rate in this setting, and identify factors that may be associated with higher levels of reported patient-centered care. I should also say that at the time of this work, I was the executive director of research and development for the Friends and Family Health Center. So the objectives of the pilot was to participate as a site in the national pilot testing of the newly developed CAHPS patient-centered medical home patient survey. Many of you are probably familiar with the CAHPS survey that assesses patient satisfaction, fielded and administered often by a health plan, such as the previous speaker, LA Care, being a national Medicare, a local Medicaid player in the county of LA. The group and clinician CAHPS survey was developed probably over a decade ago to assess physician practice level patient satisfaction, and did assess physician communication and access to care, but it was void of the new dimensions of patient-centered medical home care. And certainly there was a leadership desire to assess the patient-centered medical home care being offered at Friends of Family Health Center, because the leadership there was committed to doing this primary care transformation to patient-centered medical home. And there is a need, as policy is moving in this direction and there's rapid diffusion in primary care, to many offices trying to transform to this new model of care, being able to assess the patient's perspective that that level of care is actually happening. Friends of Family Health Center also wanted to contribute the lessons of fielding a survey like this in a community health clinic environment. We knew that the survey was going to be finalized and released by NCQA in 2012, and our concern was it going to leave out the safety net providers? Were they going to be able to play, and how successful was it going to be for them to be able to field this survey? So again, the background is that researchers from Yale and RAND were commissioned by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality to add to the 41-question core set of the Clinician and Group CAHPS survey to include dimensions of care that we associate with patient-centered medical home. The whole person care, the care is coordinated, that it's comprehensive, that it's culturally effective. So going beyond the questions on the original CAHPS that did adequately assess access and communication. The emphasis on the revised survey is placed on a relationship with a primary care provider and a team. The first question on the survey actually states the provider of care and asks the patient to confirm, is this the provider that you saw in the past 12 months? And then goes on to say, do you receive the majority of your care? Is this the physician you normally see when you need usual primary care? So again, it was to add the additional questions to get at this person-centered medical care quality and characteristics. Friends of Family Health Center is probably a medium-sized community health clinic in the northern part of Orange County in the city of La Habra. They served just over 8,000 patients in 2011 and had 25,000 visits. They recently, in 2012, received FQHC designation and are now a 330 recipient, but at the time of this fielded survey and participation in the pilot, they were a state-licensed community health clinic. Pediatrics is predominantly Hispanic, and by predominantly, it's almost exclusively. 94% of pediatrics is Hispanic, with a 50% parent language preference for Spanish. The adult practice is more diverse, probably reflects the community at large, about a third Asian, a third Hispanic, and a third Caucasian. However, the majority of that patient population is largely uninsured, about 70% have no insurance at all. 70% of our patient population actually lives in the city of La Habra, so within about 3.5 miles from the actual center. And the city of La Habra is a low-income minority-majority community, and it's been designated by the federal government as a medically underserved population, largely due probably to linguistic access versus a traditional medically underserved area that's typically defined by lack of provider access. The methodology for fielding the surveys. Because this particular survey is interested in relational care, and because of the dynamics of community health centers, as the earlier speakers stated, community health clinics do have established patient populations, but they also have what we define as transient patients, patients who maybe come for a single visit and never visit the health center again. We didn't want to survey that patient population. So we established the criteria that at least two provider visits were necessary to your assigned or usual provider within the measurement period in order to be in the denominator. Because ARC at this point, and we were participating in the pilot of the originally modified CAP survey, only English language was available. Well, we knew that half of our patient population preferred Spanish, so we had to query the sample for English preference in the electronic medical record. We also desired that 100% of the care provided to the patient was provided by the usual provider. Although that was desired, as you can see in pediatrics, unfortunately, it was not a reality for the majority of the pediatric patients. So we had to go to a second tier, which was that the majority of your care or the child's care was provided by the usual provider. An example of that might be a child who had three visits during the measurement period, two visits from provider A, one visit from provider B. That child was assigned to the provider A for the purposes of the survey. There was 144 adult patients that were identified, and a single internal medicine physician did provide 100% of their care. However, the 367 pediatric patients that were identified were provided care and assigned to three usual providers and one nurse practitioner. But in terms of the majority care, it ranged from 29% provided all of the care to 100% of their linked patients providing all the care. So even the provider who actually was the chief pediatrician, who only provided 100% care to 29% of her assigned patients, she still provided the majority care. So in order to be in the denominator, there had to be a majority physician identified. And again, it was because we were testing the relational aspects, the instrument itself. We actually mailed the written survey with a cover letter. And a recent survey done in 2011 by Fredrickson stated that if you package a survey using the principles of low literacy, user-friendly style, you can increase your response rate by 10%. But in his research, including an incentive, doubled the response rate among Medicaid respondents. So it was important for us to also include an incentive. Because we signed an MOU with the actual researchers and we were part of a pilot, the survey itself could not be changed. It was very lengthy. Because this was the initial pilot of the survey, not the final tool, the adult questionnaire had 115 questions, was in excess of 10 pages. The child questionnaire had 127 questions. Both survey instruments right now are about half of that size, but again, this was for intentional redundancy to test the language of questions as is typically done in a pilot. So we felt it was really important to get these vulnerable patient population who may struggle with such a length of a survey through the process by using an incentive. We also did add a cover letter that told them a little bit about ourselves, and it actually was issued by the Institute for Healthcare Advancement, which provides management support services for the clinic. And we started the letter by saying, we need your help. You know, your voice is important to us. We want to use your information to improve care of everyone who goes and receives care at Friends and Family Health Center. We told them their answers would be kept private. They would not be shared with their physicians or the practice team. We, of course, told them they didn't have to answer any of the questions, but we hoped they would, and that they would be entered into a drawing for a $25 Visa gift card if they did. We also, in Spanish language, wrote at the bottom of the cover letter, if you actually prefer that this survey be in Spanish, please call and let us know, recognizing that there are errors even in the best of systems. This health center had been fully automated on electronic health records since July of 2008, but it didn't mean that everything out of the system is accurate, so we did add that as well. We phoned all non-responders at least 10 times, and different days of the week and different times were used. Unlike often vended surveys, we kept the survey time window open over 90 days. It was actually almost 4 months. And we repeatedly called patients that were identified in the sample unless the number had been disconnected. We also mailed surveys to addresses. We sent all the original packages out first mail so that if there was a forwarding mail address that had since terminated, we would get that information back and we would remail. And we did have to remail 40 to new addresses. So our particular pilot site did have a higher response rate. These appear relatively low, but in a vulnerable population actually aren't so bad. I believe the majority of the other pilot sites were around 20%. So our adult survey response rate was 36.1%. The pediatric response rate was 22.2%. Rather disappointingly, we had active refusal rates, both in our adult patient population as well as in our pediatric rates, and this was by phone call. So they were reached telephonically, and the patients actually said they did not wish to complete the survey. We had a fairly high incorrect phone number rate of 14.5%, but it was lower than the incorrect mailing address of nearly 20%. And again, these were established patients who had history with the clinic. This is our survey respondent profile, and I apologize for the lack of percentages actually on the graph, but I highlighted here to show that there was some differences between the pediatrics, which were answered by the parents, and the adult patient population. We see very high levels, as you would expect, in the SF-12, which is the general SFS, how do you rate your health overall question, and then the mental health question is how do you rate your mental or emotional health. And the scale is, of course, poor, fair, good, very good, and excellent. In pediatrics, it was 95% for SF-12 and the mental health. In our adult population, it was 68% on the SF-12 and 86% in mental health. Very telling and very typical in a community health clinic environment is the education level. And so the attention, of course, to literacy. I know that CAPS researchers do a tremendous job holding focus groups, trying to simplify the stem of questions and ensure that there's a consistent understanding of what's asked. But we found with the parents of pediatrics, almost a quarter had less than a high school education. Our adults were 16%. And then, of course, you can see again that over 80% of the parents were Hispanic and peds, whereas our adult Hispanic population was only 28% because it's a more diverse patient population. These are the domains that are rated on the CAP survey, and I show them here mostly to show that consistent with other work, communication is something that the clinics, especially with vulnerable populations, both FQHCs, community health clinics, pride themselves on being the provider who is trusted in the neighborhood and who hire physicians who speak patients' languages and pride themselves on their level of communication with their patients. And as seen in our survey results, communication was the highest domain for both pediatrics and adults. The domains that were lower are getting at this care that the survey hopes to identify around patient-centered medical care, whole person view. And some of those questions were, in the past 12 months, how well do you believe your provider knows you as a person? In the past 12 months, how frequently has your provider helped you work on a goal to improving a lifestyle or a behavior? You know, in the past 12 months, how frequently has your physician screened you for alcohol, drug abuse, for depression? So again, those are some of the issues getting beyond simple communication, that you use words that they understand, that you're respectful, that you're culturally appropriate, but getting to this whole concept of comprehensive care, whole person care. And in that regard, they scored lower. They also scored lower in self-management, which is also another whole person care feature, and an important one to the primary care transformation. And that's a 4-point scale. So you can see that in adults, it was under 2 in terms of an average score. So it was pretty low in terms of our self-management. In terms of looking for bivariate associations, which we were looking for the length of time with a physician, again, you can't have relational care if the physician doesn't have an opportunity to get to know you as a person. That takes time. It doesn't generally happen in one visit. We did find significant correlations between at least three visits with the internal medicine physician and the domains for coordination. It was highly significant. So there was more opportunities to coordinate care if, in fact, that patient had had more than three visits. Their domain for whole person care was much higher. Access was statistically significant, although not as high, and self-management really was only significant probably at the point one level, really only marginally significant. In terms of the child survey, so with the parents, rather than the visit count, and again, pediatrics had been in place in this particular clinic much longer. They had a decade of pediatric experience, only about 2 years of adult care services. So adults was a relatively new service, which is why there was a single internal medicine provider. Pediatrics, again, had been a decade. So there were correlations found between the length of time with a provider and the knowledge of the child's medical history. That was the most significant correlation. And again, it's difficult to know a lot and provide this comprehensive total care without time and a length of a relationship with a provider. There was also a correlation between the domain of coordination and knowledge of the children's medical history. So again, you could coordinate care much better if you had a better knowledge of the child's medical history. And we did find a correlation between parent self-reporting poor mental health and high use of services. And this wasn't high use as defined by claims or encounters, but high use by a question on the survey itself that asked parents, does your child use more services than is typical of other children your child's age? And there was a correlation that if the child, but surprisingly so, not correlated with poor physical health. It was only the mental health. So the lessons learned for this community health clinic was that there was a significant cost and resources to administer in a community health clinic that's already struggling. This clinic is operating very close to the margin, often many months losing money. So very grateful to the new designation, which with the 330 grant will hopefully help operations. My services and my support to the clinic actually came out of the MSO, not direct clinic time, because they lack the resources to do this type of work. And we estimated that it cost $24, almost $25 per completed survey, and that did not account for staff time. So there was my time on the survey as well as two master's level academic interns from Loma Linda University. English language patients, however, did not seem to have problems completing the survey. So even though there was length, and length probably contributed to the lower response rate, their skip patterns were correct. There wasn't duplicative answering where only one bubbled response was appropriate. The surveys returned were returned complete for all 12 or 13 pages, and there was consistency across responses. Again, because this was a pilot survey, the same question was written duplicative across the instrument. I believe the lessons learned are that there will be modifications needed to the traditional survey. Evenings and weekend outreach calls were essential to improve our response rate. And a longer survey period then would typically be done by a vendor who usually wraps up a survey of this nature in 3 to 4 weeks. I think a lot of the CHCs are going to have difficulty preparing the files that are going to be needed to administer the survey via vendor, the appropriate patient sampling by provider assignment to, again, make sure that you have an established patient since the survey is asking about relational care, and making sure that your analytical file is inclusive of all known addresses on the patient so that resending is possible, that all telephone numbers that you have in your system are exported and available to the vendor for multiple attempts at outreach. We did, once the Spanish survey was released by ARC, which was later in 2011, it was actually released very late in 2011. So March of 2012, the clinic did use a vendor to field the Spanish survey, and we had much lower response rate. It was only 18%. So, and we do attribute some of that to vendor protocols. The field survey was only 4 weeks, and they only allowed 1 week for follow-up calls after the initial non-response to the mailed survey. What was noticeable is that, and remarkable, is that the survey response rates, the domain scores, were comparable between English and Spanish. There's been considerable debate in the literature in terms of whether Spanish-speaking clients perceive their care the same way as is English-speaking patients. And at least in our experience, the results in terms of domain scores were equivalent. There was just a much lower response rate. So the greatest challenge for us was a lack of correct address and phone information. These are patients that are established and that we serve. Some inaccuracy may be due to the large Hispanic population, and there may be a real reluctance to provide this real information out of fear. So it is still very prevalent in Southern California, despite it's a very high population that we serve. The impact of using the incentive for us is uncertain, although again, we did get much higher response rates when we fielded it with an incentive than when the vendor did it without an incentive. Personally and anecdotally, we believe that it was actually the multiple outreach at different hours, different days, and the increasing the survey window period of time that actually accounted for our higher response rate. That's it.